Well, greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here already again this morning. Just being in the house of God to worship together. A rich blessing. Thank you, brothers. Brother Nelson, for those things you shared. We gather in this way for many, many times, many Sundays. And it's a blessing that we can take for granted. So we want to bless God for the opportunity to be here together this morning in the house of God. And our goal should be, as the brothers were exhorting us, our goal should be that we would have a hunger. We have a thirst. So maybe if we haven't been hungry, what the brothers have done this morning has created a hunger. That is in my heart. Created more of a hunger in my heart than it was when I got here this morning. Just a hunger and a thirst for God. Because without Him, you know, the truth that our brother shared with us is a blessing. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, the poor in spirit is that our very breath depends on God. You know, think about, we're breathing, we're living because of Him. Without Him, we wouldn't be alive. We wouldn't be here. It'd just be a pile. So may God help us today to hunger and thirst. Maybe together, we could rise together for a word of prayer this morning. Let's start. Dear Lord in heaven, we bow before You this morning and we worship You and we praise You and we thank You for this opportunity to be together with the saints, with the heritage of God, with God's people. O God in heaven, we pray that You'd help us to be inspired today, to continue to be hungry, to press toward the mark, to make it home, not just ourselves, but our children and our children's children, that we would have a burden, that we have a heart, Lord, that we would make it home. And that was clearly laid out for us this morning. Help this to be a continuation of Your heart, Lord, for our lives as Your people, that we would continue to commit to serve You, to obey You, to love You, to go forward, no matter what it costs us, go forward unashamed, to stand, Lord, to stand as those three Hebrew men did when they were commanded to fall down to the golden altar. They said, if the Lord doesn't deliver us, we still won't bow, Father. So help us to have that resolve and commitment built deeper in our lives today. Thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning. We ask for Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, gathered together in this way, the subject that the Lord has laid upon my heart is one of great conflict and also one of great value. We want to look at the subject. The title of the subject is Value, the Value of a Godly Heritage, or the Value of a Goodly Heritage in Psalms. It's interchangeable. We want to look at God's Word. We want to look at God's Word. We want to look at, and with the help of the saints of God, we can look at this subject without it being conflicting. I'd like to do that this morning. I'd ask Brother Mervin if he would sing that song of the congregation. I have a little something I want to put on the board. 791. You could sing that together. We could sing that together this morning for some bring ourselves with this thought that was on my heart. So you can go ahead, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for singing that song. That song has been a song that we've all sung, and it's been a blessing for our lives. Some of the thoughts in that song is, if you 791, that always stick out to me is many of them, but one of them in particular, seven and the second line, it says. It says, I choose the path of heavenly truth and glory in my choice. Not all the riches of the earth can make me so rejoice. And that's been a blessing for God's people in the endurance of holding a value in our life. As we choose a heavenly choice, we choose it. We don't always know what's ahead of us, but praise God, we can choose it and we can glory in our choice. So I'd like to look at this subject a little bit this morning. God's Word, what God's Word says about our inheritance or our heritage and what His heart is. Like, look at a few Bible characters. One in particular that give it up. Give up his birthright. Be thinking about that. Give up his birthright. Then I can be thinking about who that was. Like to maybe ask them, maybe some children or someone here to answer that. Who was that? There was two men, and one of them give it up for a bowl of something. The other, then lastly, then there's other three other men. Yeah, I kind of alluded to that in my prayer, I believe, that didn't give it up the inheritance of God. And lastly, we'd like to look at some practical things, part of our journey, our heritage, the life that we're living. In Allen County, the life that we're living in the Western culture, in sharing some of those things. There will be, it'll have holes in it this morning. It'll be a tip of the iceberg. But may God help me to relay the things that are on my heart and we can add and take away. It's not finished when this is done. It's a journey, like Brother Nelson was sharing. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 61. I'm going to read Psalm 61 for some opening thoughts there. The psalmist David, he cried, he said, Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and in his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. The psalmist, see some of the thoughts today. We titled the thought, Godly Heritage, Goodly Heritage, and that's what we'll talk about. And as I discuss those things in my own heart and the family, there is things in a heritage of people that very clearly must be repented of. Brother Nelson alluded to that, we need to come out of the sin, and we need to be clean, and we need to be free. And that is very foundational. But today we want to look at the things kind of in the picture from the Word of God, not just from our little window of time, not just from our little window of experience. It is very important, our experiences. But our experiences need to be brought away from the timeline of this earth. And we need to pull ourselves continually up to the timeline of eternity. Because that's where it's going to count. That's where we'll make it home. Because in this timeline of this earth, there's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of difficult things that happen, a lot of experiences that we face that either have the potential to derail us or press us on further to that timeline of eternity. And David had a good heart there. He, all the things he was facing, he knew that God give him this in Psalm 61. A heritage of those that fear His name. And I'm so thankful this morning to be part of a brotherhood, to be part of a local church. There's many local churches that men that fear His name that will follow Him. We'll be loyal to him. So we want to look at it from that way. Every heritage or different people groups across the world have interpretations of this, and we do too. We're not coming up with anything new. This subject is not an attempt to cover up bad things, but rather a clear call that we would repent of things that are not right in a godly heritage. Always repent of things that are not right. But never at the expense of biblical truth is kind of what we want to look at a little bit today. Biblical truth that were battled way before we were ever born in ACCF or our little segment of time on earth. They were battled in the Old Testament. They were battled in Psalms in the New Testament church. And men have battled and battled and battled for things that people just throw away. That's the thing that we would like to talk about, a goodly heritage. To encourage us to fully embrace the heritage of God, unashamed. That's our heart. That's the thing the Lord's been doing in my life. Some of you I know have, this is not new to any of us. This is very familiar truth to all of us. This calling is same to every generation. Every generation. My generation, my wife and I was thinking, we were here. This is what we remember. We're married. We're converted before we were married. We're born again. And this is our life. This is the family of God. This is what we appreciate. This is the heritage of God. We're thankful. Will we love it? Will we care for it? Will we hold on to it? Will we do whatever it takes for our little ones, as Brother Nelson shared? The meaning of heritage this morning, I want to look at inheritance, has a word inheritance in it and also birthright. And there could probably be a few others. The meaning of that on an earthly sense, we'll look at this earthly sense, it revolves around monetary gifts, monetary things, money, land, and etc. And many, many heritage or inheritance, it revolves around that. It's a gift or property that by legal right is given upon the death of one's father. In ancient Israel, the property of a deceased person was usually distributed according to the law or tribal custom. Written wills were rarely used in ancient Israel. It was just a known thing. It was normally divided among the father's sons. A larger amount was given to the firstborn because he was assumed to be the caretaker of the mother, which that sum was usually double, whether it was monetary or earthly things. This is earthly and is very much still practiced today. It's not bad. This isn't a bad thing. This is how life goes on. A father dies. You know, life goes on. I remember my grandfather died. You know, and some of these thoughts and my uncle come down. My dad wasn't home. He was away. He was down south. And he sat down on my kitchen table and he gave a check to me to give to my dad for an amount of a settlement of an inheritance. It was just something to think about. Grandpa was gone and everything he had got divided out. And we talked that day how things are vanity and the book of Proverbs, it's all past. Life is so short. But that's earthly. That's kind of in this timeline of the earth. And today that's not where we want to stay. That's not where we want to stop. We'd like to pick up an eternal perspective of the inheritance of God. The Greeks, on the other hand, relied more on wills to distribute their inheritance. They made wills. They did this because of the law. They were, and this will, an inheritance was a serious thing in Israel and in the Greeks, and could not be revolted unless there was a serious offense against the father. I was thinking about that. Sometimes in an earthly sense, those are difficult experiences that we face on an earthly perspective, but much more on the spiritual perspective. Isn't it true that there also is that opportunity that an offense against our Father in heaven will withhold the inheritance, the spiritual inheritance? Here on earth, it goes through a lot of battles. could be up for arguments, and it has many, 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 many family arguments over those things. But in eternity, there will be no argument. When we offend our Father and He doesn't give the inheritance, it's a done deal. We'd like to look at those things too. Just something to think about. The offense of a son, the offense of this, we'd like to start, go to Deuteronomy. Maybe if somebody don't mind getting me a drink of water, I appreciate that. Deuteronomy 21, if you turn your Bibles, you can turn there if you have your Bibles. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18, we'll jump in there. This is on the subject of the inheritance not being given to a son. In verse 18, it says, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and into the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and they hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon a tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." And just looking at the laws in Deuteronomy, look at that principle and make some spiritual applications. The seriousness of the rebellious son. You know, there's a few things happened there. You know, the value of the land, they didn't let him hang overnight, because they didn't want this land to be defiled by this rebellion. They didn't. Thank you. There was a seriousness that took place when this happened in Israel. So it is in the spiritual sense. Our lives matter. Our lives matter. The clear conditions of our spiritual heritage is through here in Deuteronomy, if you look at that. And also as we go through the New Testament, there's clear conditions for our spiritual inheritance. First Chronicles, if you turn over there for another example. First Chronicles 5, it's the lineage of the 12 tribes of Israel. We'll see Reuben here in chapter 5, verse 1. We'll just bring this in for a little something for all of us to remember. "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn." Remember, the firstborn always received the inheritance or the birthright. Like, for example, I'm the firstborn in my father's family, and I would receive according to Israel's history, I would receive double. That's not how we're doing it that I'm aware of. But it's just an interesting thing, because I would take care of my mother and the rest of the children in that sense. The firstborn Reuben there, it says, "But for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright." And then it says in verse 2, "For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph." And we see that preservation of the inheritance went through there. But there was a condition. Do we believe this morning that Reuben could have received the birthright? He could have. I believe he could have, but he defiled his father's bed. And there's a whole story of that. But Reuben there, it was taken back. It was turned back. It was given to Joseph's sons. Very, very, very familiar story. We know these stories. If you turn back to Genesis 49, turn back there just a little bit for that story. We won't read the entirety for the sake of time. But Genesis 49, verses 1 to 28, we'll go through that just a little bit. Genesis 49 is where Jacob called his sons together. He pronounces the curses on Reuben. You see in verse 3, he said, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength. the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. And then he tells him, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up into thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went unto my couch. And we'll just keep going. Simeon and Levi, they were instruments of cruelty. Angry. Cursed is their anger. And then in verse 8, Judah, he shall praise, Judah there, thou art whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. See, Judah received a blessing there. And you can go on. He continues to give the all the children there. He gives them a portion. He shares with them the need. And then verse 22, he comes into that birthright again to Joseph. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bole, even a fruitful bole by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abide in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And that heritage, that picture again of coming through the children of Israel by a condition, by some men there. Very familiar story, but may this story never grow old. That we are part of an inheritance this morning of men that preserved it and cared for it and guarded over it. That God's people this morning can receive blessings. God has a desire to give blessings to people, to groups who honor and obey Him with their whole heart. Isn't that a blessing? God has a desire to bless people. He wants to give us blessings, not lands and money, but blessings of peace and joy and the Holy Spirit, the blessings of harmony in our lives and homes, peace in our brotherhoods, unity, laying our lives down for one another. He has that desire. We can do that when we love the timeline of eternity. But when we love ourselves and we're caught up in doing our own thing, we destroy ourselves and others with it. You know, what was the difference between Reuben and Joseph this morning? It's something for us to be encouraged by. You know, Israel was watching. The father there was watching. He saw the commitment in Joseph, and he saw that in Judah. And he saw the anger in them two other men, and he saw Reuben's disloyalty. He saw all that. He lived with them. The same way as our Father in heaven is this morning. He is no respecter of persons. He looks down upon this small assembly, which is it's a nice size assembly. But in light of eternity, he looks down and he doesn't miss nothing. Isn't that a blessing? Nothing. He's willing to pour out a blessing. How is that then that some man chooses to honor God and another man don't? It's a choice. I just think of that, just something to remember. The effect, and if you look through Numbers, I won't turn to that. Numbers 26, verse 22. If you want to write that down, you could look. The number of Judah's family heritage was 16,000 some people at that point in Numbers. I just want us to remember that we all have families, and the heritage of our families, it won't take long at all until there's the Shirks, the Grabers, the Lonekers. It's heritage. And it matters, beloved. It matters, beloved, what we do this morning. In this timeline of earth, that we're here. We're here on this earth. But the goal would be that we would draw our hearts to that bigger timeline. That we're not going to be here very long. An eternal inheritance. Blessed is a man that chooses the path of heavenly truth and just glories in that choice, and come what may. Isn't there a joy in, Jesus many times, you know, when there was joy, there was, like Brother Mervyn shared, I appreciated that, there's joy mingled with sorrow, and it's going to be that way. Can we commit to that? When we commit to that, there's great, there can be joy in sorrow. There can be Things that we can just come to grips with. We can understand. We can just be at peace. We don't have to fight. In this greater inheritance, this spiritual inheritance that we want to look at some now, it causes money and land and power and etc., everything to look pale. It causes it to look pale this morning in light of the bigger picture, doesn't it? So, a brother once shared with me that if we were to tell someone from the West Coast that there's a $100 million inheritance for him at the East Coast. Now, it's an inheritance. It's a picture. $100 million inheritance. So you're going from the West to the East. Do you believe that on your journey from the West to the East that somebody's going to stop you? Maybe take advantage of you? He might even stop you and take $100,000 from you or $1 million. I'm just using numbers so that's how we think. And you stop about midway and you hold him by the throat and you need your million or $100,000. But never remembering that you're going to miss the $100 million. Or that it's a lame way to put it, I think, in an earthly sense. But that inheritance, that timeline of eternity, we give it up for very little things at times. Men do. They just give up. God is calling us upward to this bigger timeline. Choose that path. It will pale. If you look at, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Some scriptures. This is a spiritual inheritance that we like to talk about now. This should be the greatest pursuit of God's people while they live here on this timeline of earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think I have the right verses. Chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. For such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." See, the spiritual inheritance there is one of the things that I want to look at a little bit as I look at these verses. If you turn, I read those verses and you remember them, there's a condition, and then there were such were some of you. There's a coming out into this heritage. The other cannot have the inheritance. Never will. It's established in eternity. So this morning, if we're caught in that that earthly sense of adulterers and feminine and selfish and covetous and drunkards, you know, there's a lot more words. You go through Galatians and you can add to that list. If we're caught there and we're stubborn and we're unwilling, you're not part of the greater inheritance. But you can be if you want to come this morning. Come. Come to that great inheritance. And commit yourself to obey the gospel. Commit your whole life to obey God. And it'll be a blessing. It'll be a great blessing. Romans chapter 8, some more verses. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 in Romans 8, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." In 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Revealed in us. I'll stop reading there. Just the conditions there, the inheritance, the promise, the conditions in the promise. "And if children of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ." There's an inheritance there. Remember though, then he says, "and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So just a little suffering on this earth is not to be compared to the greater to the greater picture this morning, never to be compared, to be an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a spiritual heritage with God's people is not to be compared with a small hurt or a difficulty that we face on this timeline of earth. It will help us. It will encourage us. These were encouraging things for my life. A biblical perspective of this. It's one that's always been a blessing. This is a biblical perspective. As we shared earlier, we're going to get into this a little bit. The spiritual biblical perspective. Sinful activity in any heritage never will work, like we shared earlier. We need to repent of that. But never at the expense of biblical truth. Never. And that's the burden, some of the burden on my heart. Because when the Gentiles come into the faith, you know, Gentiles, we are Gentiles. The perspective of that is that we were grafted in. We were redeemed. The Gentiles become God's adopted sons. With full inheritance rights. Full, 100%. The Gentiles come in to the Jews and they had full right. And that was a difficulty. You know, the only reason this morning that becomes a difficulty to you and I is because we own it. We own this little timeline of eternity. Or we own ACCF. We don't. This is the church of the living God. This is the kingdom of God that is propelling itself through eternity. And we can call us ourselves to that continually. And it'll bring men to that place all the time. It's a call of God. It's an encouragement. I want that to be an encouragement. Remember, it's the spiritual inheritance this morning never goes away. Never. It's established in eternity. As 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles, I'll continue to go through scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I want us to think those verses are very familiar verses. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We shared that this inheritance of God will never go away. Isn't that encouraging? Though there be some of us in this room that will say, "I don't want that. I don't want to pay the price." But eternity will keep going, and men will still go there. And they'll receive the redemption of their purchased possession one day, if they're faithful. I want to be there. Do you all? The redemption of our purchased possession. You know, there's a down payment been given to us by the scriptures. Ephesians. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 18. It says in verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." We could keep reading some powerful scriptures there, but when I read you scriptures, this is what's come to my mind, and God is working in my heart. May he work in our hearts that we must continue to pull ourselves away from the timeline of this earth in order for myself to understand these things more clearly for myself. I feel like I get caught in time. I get caught in my experiences, and we just get caught. and we don't go anywhere. I was humbled by this in my own personal life. Think about that. Think of a few thoughts there. The unchangeable plan for God for all men is there could be different things shared on here. It's a down payment. That earnest there is a down payment. You know, when you go purchase a property, you put a down payment on the property. And you could say it's yours, but it is conditional. Plays interesting to me. It's conditional. Have men ever lost the down payment on a property? They have. And most of that there was a breaking of the condition, and then you lose the down payment. God never wants to take away the down payment. He wants us to make it. But the condition is very, very, very vital. So the plan of this in Ephesians, there, I was thinking about that government, that unchangeable plan. God has that established. But His people are to be guided by a divine government. You know what a divine government is? We have government, and we thank God for that. But a divine government, and for that purpose, beloved, for that purpose He has pre-planned from the beginning. You know, that predestined word is, you know, we can have a lot of arguments, but He has pre-planned from the beginning that all men would become part of that timeline of eternity. All men. And so that gives us courage to make that call continually. It's not certain of us will make it and certain of us won't. That's not the meaning of predestined in these scriptures. He has planned that because that's His plan, a spiritual heritage. And the call goes out from then until now and throughout all eternity. Come. Come to this inheritance. And when we have come, don't lose the earnest. Don't lose that down payment, that Holy Spirit that He gives us when we become converted. He gives us that sensitivity. Our brother was talking to us this morning about listening, feeding on God, hungering after God. Don't lose that. Because at the end, we see that verse 14, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That'll be eternally worth everything until the end, until the redemption of this purchased possession, the people of God, the heritage of God. It has a government here on earth while we live in this time frame, and it has a king that will empower His people. It will empower His people to live right, to obey Him, to keep on until that great redemption. Keep on. Acts 26. This is again continuing on the spiritual inheritance. Acts 26 is the story of the Apostle Paul. The story of the Apostle Paul, and starting in verse 15, he's given his testimony here to the King Agrippa. Very familiar story. In verse 15, he said, and he was giving this story to him. He said in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? He's telling this to Agrippa. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And I was just thinking about this as he shares his testimony. How many times in life do we share our testimony, what God did for us? As individuals, also as a people, God's working in our lives. He helps us. This is what his testimony was. He said, but rise, this is what Jesus told Paul, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Interesting thought here that I might have shared this earlier, but the inheritance of God, the down payment. There is a thought that a few of us brothers had a conversation the other week on this is, you know, there is a position of inheritance that we all receive. You know, there's occasionally, You'll get something from your father that you just didn't do anything for. There's a position that you get. You get something. And when we repent, we get all of what God has. We didn't do anything. It's a position that we receive. But along with this position, as you read the scriptures, now we could stand to be corrected. We could have a lot of conversation. But along with this here, as equally important as the position is, there is a condition. There is a condition. And when you read these testimonies, you see I just noted down some of the conditions. The Apostle Paul, when he received that light from heaven, there's something happened in his life and he didn't do a thing. He didn't go to Gentiles. He was nowhere. He was just yielded. He was yielded to God. But as you see there, there's something happened in his life. He asked the Lord, what would you want me to do? Then you see in verse 17, he says, delivering them from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, Jesus told Paul, to open their eyes. You know, when we're not spiritually enlightened or we don't have this heritage of God, we're blind. I've lived blind already. Even as a Christian, I've been blinded. That's painful to realize, well, I didn't see that. But we can humble ourselves and become awake again. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus said. That is in me. So I was thinking about, when you look at those scriptures on conditions, that this is a package deal. This is a package. If you want to be part of the family of God, we have to take the whole package. And that's encouraging this morning. And that helps me come to, I was thinking about that in light of our experiences. You know, sometimes we come up against crossroads in our life. And we're tempted to make decisions based on our experience of what happened to us. Or what happened to some of us. And this morning, that's not wise. Not wise to do that. It is good for us to study the truth. Study the truth continually. Study whether this inheritance will be jeopardized. My spiritual inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, will be jeopardized by this decision that we make. Study the truth. When our eyes are opened, and when we're turned from darkness to light, from the power of darkness unto the power of God, is a different power. Then is when we receive forgiveness, remission of sins, inheritance among them which are sanctified by the truth, by faith in Him, there it says, in Jesus Christ. Colossians, some other scriptures, we'll keep going. Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at conditions of the heritage here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And looking at that traffic again, if you have your Bibles open, it was just it was real again there, just seeing the walking out, the condition of this inheritance there. It's in those verses. You know, we focus sometimes, the professing world and ourselves, I think we should be excited to say the verse, to enjoy the verse that says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of Him, to be partakers of the inheritance. And that word there is following on the heels of, if you look at, let me see what I have here. It's followed on the heels of, why are we qualified? Why are we qualified? Are we qualified because of a performance? It's a yielding. It's coming to Him all the time. It's amazing how He looks at it. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Who will be made? Who will be qualified if he doesn't have a desire to walk worthy of the Lord, of the one who created him? Who will be made meet or qualified if he doesn't have a desire to walk worthy? If he doesn't have a desire to be fruitful in every good work, and etc. You know, being in prayer, being fruitful, being strengthened, increasing in knowledge, wanting to know more of God. Not more knowledge on paper. We need that. We need memory. But wanting to know more of God. What is God's will for our lives as families, as people? Then he can say, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. You know, to be qualified this morning is not a real hard qualification. It's just a willingness to come to the Scriptures and say, I want to know what you have for me, Lord. And therein we are qualified. So every one of us are qualified this morning based on our condition of willingness. How willing are we? That's a blessing this morning. Qualified right then and there. You know, this morning you can be qualified right now. Right now. You don't have to go out and do anything. You can be qualified right now. Come to God willingly. First, maybe it's the first time you've ever done that. Is it safe to come? Maybe you've done it and there's some callous, maybe there's some hurts and difficulties in your heart. Come again. You're qualified. I'm qualified right then and there. The only time we become unqualified this morning, by our own disobedience to the Word of God, we just push back. Not God's fault, never. God is not holding one soul out this morning. Isn't that encouraging? I praise God for that. The burden this morning is that heritage or an inheritance is many times lost just a little at a time. Just a little bit at a time. Over a long period of time. This is what makes me think of the timeline. That's why I drew that. To relay the burden the Lord has done in my life. To draw our lives, Lord Jesus, to draw our lives to a bigger timeline. To the greatest. To the most essential call in our lives. Never put off a Bible truth because someone didn't understand it. Or didn't understand why they practiced it. Never put off a Bible truth. It's an old, tired argument. And it's a spiritual decline of losing our inheritance on a slide. The spiritual decline. And it happens over and over and over. The burden. Always balance, always search the truth, the Bible truths, in light of this eternal timeline. It will help us sort through. It will help us sort through. Let us never make our choices by our experiences. But let us seek God in the counsel of the people of God. It will be safe. And I'd like to give some practical examples I was hearing earlier when I opened up. You know, for examples on the inheritance of God's people. Very practical examples. You know, sometimes in this realm, women have dishonored and disobeyed their husbands with head veilings or head coverings on. Things of that nature. It's practical. So in making decisions on that, there's been people have come to the evaluation that the head covering's the problem. So the head covering goes because the wives can't submit to their husbands, they got coverings on. Is that a right biblical interpretation? I know better things of that than God's people, but do you know that that's how deceptive that Satan is? He can deceive us. He's very clever at that. It's just an example. Wives should never dishonor and disobey their husbands with coverings or not coverings. It's a Bible mandate. And then when we do that, this is what happens. These are things that I have observed, temptations in my own life, and also observed in God's people. Things like, well, after all, this is not a salvation issue. I just want us to think through that. Let's be Bible lovers of truth. This is not a salvation issue. I'd like to share, just as the pattern of God, we shared earlier that the inheritance of God is a package deal. This also is a package deal. When you jeopardize with one, you take them all out. It's just a matter of time. And I say that because it happens. It happens very practically right before our eyes. So when we say certain things are not salvation issues, I would exhort myself along with all of us to be careful with what we call salvation issues. Because isn't the whole Bible a salvation issue? The heart of God is a salvation issue. Isn't that a blessing this morning? I've been freed. We could be set free this morning to make the Word of God, the inherent Word of God, a salvation issue. If we're seeing some things in my life, if I've been a Christian for 20 years, and we see some things that we need to just adjust and obey it, it'll work out. Don't worry whether I'm saved or not. I think that's been a downward fall for situations that we observe at times. It's a package deal. Because when those things start to move, you can be assured that the marriage will go too. Because something's not right later on. There's been issues in my marriage that, you know, overall, after all, you don't understand my marriage. We don't. But God does. It's a commitment to a package. And then at that rate, families and whole people groups, it seems like we just become so desperate to try to sort through which ones we want and which ones we don't, and which ones are salvation issues and which ones aren't. And I would exhort us to a higher line this morning. A higher line. It's a freedom to just commit to obey the Scriptures. May the Lord help us. I'm blessed with you brothers' lives. These are the things that the Lord's been doing in my life. Another thought is, children, obey your parents. These are very practical thoughts. The Scripture says, I think in Colossians, children, obey your parents in all things. So in some of our experiences, there were abusive and authoritative and oppressive situations. I understand that. Not just in our experiences, but in the experiences of the landscape of humanity. It's been that way. But let's think through it biblically this morning. Let's do this together. So the truth of this gets shifted to child-centered homes. You know what I mean by child-centered homes? Whenever the child makes a noise, we run. And I've seen those things. We're in the middle of life. We do these things. We're growing. But this is not the Bible. This is not the biblical way. Though the balances, the experiences have been difficult for some of us in different ways. That's probably one area in my life that I am very thankful for. I don't have those experiences, so I'm thankful to God for. And we want to be very, very open to work in situations that are difficult. I have had a blessed parents in my life. We went through difficulties, but overall we were blessed. The journey here is, then the questions, the alternative of these child-centered homes when we are trying to find a different inheritance or a different way. Parents bow down because we don't want to oppress our children. That would squash their gifts. This morning is shipwreck. It has shipwrecked the multitudes of homes and churches. It has brought out rebels, rebellious sons, as we read in Deuteronomy, and daughters. But along with that, there's a stigma in that comes with a strong profession of Christianity that we're hearing from God in our rebellion. And it's a burden. I believe it's a burden on the heart of God. I sometimes tremble raising my family, but I'm encouraged because God has a way. God has a way. God is never a respecter of persons. Think about some of the things that get said. Some time ago, I was at a wedding, and I was sharing a message, and I talked about this verse, children, obey your parents in all things. And again, we can't cover every subject. But later on, there's an individual come up, and he wondered. He said, now, let me ask you a question. He says, Once they turn 18, they don't really have to obey everything that dad and mom say, right? Let's put that out there to you. I would say that's heresy this morning. I would say that with humility in my mind. The time that that changes is when there is a new home established. Whether it's 18, 19. And I say I say this because I love my own family and I love you too. Some of those things are they come because we're trying to make decisions on our experiences. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then, again, the ultimate is we're never required by Scripture to disobey the Word of God. Never. We can't do that. God is not a respecter. He knows every situation. He's not a respecter of persons. So with that being said, there's other points that I could share. I don't know that I will. There's a few thoughts that I wanted to share, some practical points to think about. I said to husbands, wives, children, obey your parents. A couple other things I won't touch on is separation from the world in all things, and in submission to one another in the fear of God. Separation from church and the state. The church and the state has always been separated. So there are a few thoughts that you can think about. They're very practical. Separation from the world in all things. If you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was the story I wanted to share in that situation. You know, they faced a big deal that day. I want us to think about it. They faced a big decision. There was a mob of people and a golden idol. Do you think that was the only decision that they made that gave them the strength that morning to just say, no, I won't do it? Just think over those men. Think over Daniel when the king brought his meat and the king brought all his dainties and he brought everything and they said, no, we don't want that. We want our training from before they were brought into captivity. We want that. We'll be same strong, king. We'll serve you. But we want that. And so they made decisions to not eat the king's meat, the small decisions. And then one day when they come before the mob of people and the king said, bow down. They said, no, king, we can't do that. You see, the small things, as I shared earlier, is how we lose our inheritance. We lose it little by little. So you can think about those and have discussion on that. There's many other things to be shared. I want to share a few thoughts that Some of the reasons that this has been on our mind as a family. We took a little journey some time ago, a few weeks, and the blessings of just visiting with people across the landscape and kind of helped me. We live here in a small area of life, and we can sometimes be pretty narrow in that sense. But it helped me to just walk and talk with people and visit with people. I had In different occasions, we had an individual that come up and visited with us. He was about a 60-some-year-old man, and he was from Vegas, Las Vegas. We met him about 2 hours from there at a hotel. And he come up to us and asked us a few questions and wondered who he was. You know, in his evaluation of us, we were an Anabaptist family. He knows about that. And he wanted to know who he was and our story. And so we kind of shared our story with him. And in his evaluation was, you really have something. So he has no idea all the battles that we face in life. So in our talk with him, we wondered about schooling. He wondered about our ages. And in our talk with him, I just said, well, sir, what about your family? Do you have a family? And he put his head down and he kind of started breaking up. And he said, yeah, he said, I do. He said, my son was 42, and a year and a half ago, he was murdered in Vegas. And tears started to come down his face. He said, in 4 years before that, my other son come home from the army. Couldn't cope with it. And he got into substance and ended up having a cardiac arrest, and he died. He said, so, sir, he said, I don't have nothing like you have. But he was a Christian, and I'm not saying that. We had a nice visit with him. And it put a burden on my heart. Come out of the cornfield, like Brother Nelson said. Come out of Vegas. He looked at me and he said, sir, he said, there's nothing in the strip of Vegas. He said, and also, men are not created to shoot people. He was acknowledging this. Some of our people sometimes battle with the fact that there's a clear separation between the church and the state, the church and the world. We're not created for the world. We're created for a different government and a different kingdom. And I was encouraged. I love the heritage of God. I love it. Will you and I love it together until we make it home? That man doesn't know how much he encouraged me. It's a sad story that day for him. He said, I have no heritage. I have no sons. I told him, God can adopt you. God can keep you. Oh, yeah, he said, I know. We sang him a song or so. And he said, Do you know this song? He had some old songs in his mind from a little boy. I want us to say that when we travel away from a godly heritage, we end up in Vegas. It's just a matter of time. Some burdens that the Lord laid in my heart. May God help us. You know, he thought we were some Mennonites. I don't know what all he thought. We didn't ask him a lot of questions. The effect of that had an effect, I think, that changed some things in my life. The way I think. The way you and I think about people. The way you and I think about life directly molds us and shapes us in making our decisions. You know, this morning, when we make changes, very practically, sometimes we need to make clothing changes. Sometimes we need to make job changes. Make those changes that are more God-honoring. When we make changes for clothing, may they be more concealing and not revealing. It's very biblical. When we make job changes, that we would find clean atmospheres. We would find God-honoring places to work. When we make changes, we want to pray more, want to read more, not less and less and less. Undress and dress and dress and pray less and read less. And ramp up profession. That's the world we live in. Ramping up profession. That is not a godly heritage. Children this morning, more obedient than before, not less obedient. You see, them are the changes that God's calling us to, because it's a bigger timeline. Separated unto God, living an unashamed life, what we do. You know, we were stared at. I was thinking about that in our lives, on our little journey. We felt stared at many times, just stared at. And then people would get courage and come up and ask us questions, which we should have maybe took more courage. We were not as proactive. Some of you brothers are. But the questions that they would ask us was very, very beautiful, very good opportunities to share, just to share life, share our lives with them. And I was again reminded that we have a goodly heritage. We have a goodly heritage in God, in Christ Jesus. The decaying heritage is a people. A decaying heritage is a people that put off biblical truths, one little truth at a time. And we've all seen this and been part of that at times, at some form or another. But beloved, this morning we're persuaded of better things than that. We're persuaded of better things. We want to understand God's will. I want to close with some verses in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 10. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnashing upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day in coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their swords shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And some of those verses were a blessing. So never be alarmed when the world and the flesh and blood and the devil and all the hosts of evil press against us. Take it and recognize that the reason that's happening is because we're pressing in the timeline of eternity. There's a lot of people that live right here. We live there too, in a sense, in this earth. But we're drawing ourselves upward. We're going home. And we don't want to miss that final purchase possession, do we? This morning, we don't want to miss that. Those were some thoughts. Anything that was shared that come across in a way that's not clear, we would be very open to that. We just communicate and appreciate each of you brothers. Appreciate the inheritance and the heritage that we have been part of here in our family. We want that to be rich. We want that to be a blessing in the years to come, but it will take a total sellout continually from every generation. It will take. God bless you all, and let's pray for each other.